Dog, you're up with our next item.
The next item is Dogfish, and it's action on the amendment that I don't think anyone has before them. Hold on one second, Mr. Chairman. We have... hold on. Okay. All right. Well, the Mid-Atlantic Council has approved draft Amendment 3 to the Spiny Dogfish Plan, and that went to public hearings. The public hearings have been held. There are summaries of the public hearings, or at least some of them, in your binder. They're rather sparse because the attendance was rather sparse, and that's understandable in light of the nature of Amendment Number 3. Important issues, to say the least, but I don't think they were very controversial. Certainly, that's my take on them after reading the public hearing documents. Now, the full amendment itself is not in the binder. Of course, it's on the website. And you really don't need the full amendment before you. I'll just say and then turn to Jim Armstrong from the Mid-Atlantic Council, who will give a presentation with support from Phil Herring. I'll just say that the amendment addresses four issues. And I suspect I should be quiet because Jim's going to address them. In the interest of time, I'll let him identify the issues and specify the options that we have relative to them after he is through with his presentation and anything that Phil may add. Then, and after questions, I'll have a motion to make. It's not a motion that will be made on behalf of the Dogfish Committee. I will be making the motion, and I will need a second. But it should get us through this amendment, and I don't think it will require a great deal of time. Jim, if you would.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Pierce. And I think if this amendment was an Olympic diver, it would get high marks because it's going to make a small splash. It's basically intended to fix some things that need to be fixed and is not particularly innovative in any of the things that are going on. So a lot of people will probably not notice its passage. There are four issues in the amendment. Research set aside, essential fish habitat, delayed rulemaking, and quota allocation. And those might not sound like simple items, but I'll try to convince you that they are. RSA is something that spiny dogfish didn't qualify for because RSA was developed when the spiny dogfish FMP was being developed, so it just sort of missed the bus. So we want to allow set aside in the dogfish fishery, and so the alternatives under that issue are to either not allow for RSA or to allow for 3% set aside, which is consistent with all of the other Mid-Atlantic administered FMPs. And then also there's a 5% set-aside option owing to the very low value of dogfish and possible need for large volumes in order to offset some marginal costs and stuff. So those are the alternatives that were envisioned. They were taken out to public hearings. What I'll do is I'll just go through all of the issues and alternatives. Then I'll go through the public hearing feedback, and then I'll turn it back over to Dave Pierce. So same as the other ones. And essential fish habitat, Amendment 3 is really the first direct amendment of the spiny dogfish FMP. The amendments 1 and 2 were SBRM and the omnibus ACLEM amendment. Respectively. So this is the first time we've actually directly gotten into the spiny dogfish FMP to change it, and it was implemented in 2000. So that tells you how old the information is in there. And Magnuson requires that we update essential fish habitat definitions frequently. 5 years is the recommended frequency, and we haven't done that yet. So the no action would be non-compliant with Magnuson. So a review is required under Magnuson. The update following the review is is optional based on the information. So the action alternative under EFH would be to take the more recent biological survey information to update spiny dogfish EFH, just to keep it up to date. And here's a map of juvenile. We have central fish habitat broken out by life stage, two life stages, juvenile and adult. And those are different depending on sex. So here you can see the fairly widespread habitat occupied by dogfish in the status quo definition. And then here it is in the updated definition. So it's just slightly different, very widespread. Adults are everywhere before and now. So the definitions would be improved because earlier the life stages weren't explicitly described relative to length at and age, or size and sex, which are different. And the 10-minute square ranking is done differently in the updated. It's a little more sophisticated with some log transforming, and there's new information based on an updated time series of trawl surveys with temperature, salinity, and depth preferences. So that would just be done. The public hearing in the public hearings, we did hear support for no action. I think there were some folks who thought it was kind of a big waste of time, but hopefully, you know, some action will be taken in that under that issue. Delayed implementation or delayed rulemaking is simply a problem where when the dogfish specifications aren't ready or there's some delay, and so May 1 comes around and the new quota isn't in place through rulemaking yet, then there's no quota. There's a trip limit, but there's no quota. So the fishery's operating under no annual cap, and then that's fixed as soon as rulemaking goes into it completes and the new quota is put into place. What this would do is simply make sure that all of the management measures carried over, continued into the subsequent year until replaced through rulemaking. So it's just a little loophole that needs to be fixed. There was support for that. Quota allocation. Now, this is probably the biggest deal in here. The federal quota is seasonally allocated. So there are two periods, period one and period two. Period one from May 1 to November or to through October 31, getting 57.9% of the quota and 42.1% of the quota going from November 1 through April 30. That conflicts ever since about 2009 when the commission started to go to geographic allocation of the quota. And there's been a conflict between the federal and the interstate fishery management plans. And so this is really this was the impetus for Amendment 3, and the other stuff kind of got tacked on. There are two action alternatives here. One is no allocation of the coastwide quota, and I think that that's gotten some people confused just because I didn't explain it well enough in the text or something. It doesn't mean allocation would go away. The commission is not going to do anything as a result. You know, it's not bound to anything in Amendment 3. This is no allocation of the federal coastwide quota. So the commission would continue to allocate, based on agreements among states and regions, the total coastwide quota. And anything really that you do in federal waters would only, you know, confound that if it conflicts with that. So the idea is to 4B is to get out of that, out of the way of the commission, so that they can allocate the quota. And then on the federal side, we'd be mostly concerned with what the total coastwide quota should be and monitoring that. And also keeping federal waters open as the, you know, two states whose fisheries are still open so that they can get access to the resource in federal waters until their state waters close. So ideally under identical quotas in a given year, the federal waters would close the moment that the last state's waters close, okay, under that. 4C is an alternative to that, and there the federal plan would be modified so that it matches identically with the interstate fishery management plan. Whatever the allocation scheme is that's in there would be in the federal plan. The only problem with that is that the interstate plan can change fairly quickly, and the federal plan is, the federal process is a lot slower. So if that allocation scheme under the interstate plan, as that's perfected or modified from year to year, the federal plan would constantly be keeping up and would have a mismatch in the percentages. I just did the wrong one there. Okay. So under 4C, there would be a requirement for regional accountability measures. This Interstate Fishery Management Plan already has accountability measures that are applied, but they're applied without the lag. They take the existing or the previous year's overages and apply it to the next year. So they make an adjustment within the year. And that's just not built in. I mean, we've already written in the ACLEM amendment to have AMs administered differently in the federal plan. It would have to have a five-year review to match the ASMFC, and we could improve the timeliness of changing the allocation scheme by adding a framework provision. There would be an allowance for trading of quota among states and regions. The ASMFC's overage allowance, in other words, if a state does not harvest all of its quota in a given year, it can actually have a portion of that available to it in addition to whatever it's allocated in the next year. That would not occur under the federal plan. So there's still a lot of mismatching going on. This is just a table that has the percentages state by state as they currently exist under Addendum 4. And I don't expect you to look too hard at this, but these are the percentages north and south of the landings. North being from Connecticut north and south being New York south. And you can see in 2009 and in 2010, they started, actually 2008 as well, there was that the idealized percentages were actually starting to approach reality there. So the potential for continued conflicts are really triggered basically by if the quotas are different. That's an issue that is not necessarily going to get fixed by this amendment. We're not going to necessarily have identical quotas, but we can at least get rid of the problem with the seasonal versus geographic. So in the public hearings, there was support for just having a coastwide quota on the federal side, allowing the commission to administer allocation of that quota. There were public hearings, three of them, from September 4th through the 6th in Virginia Beach, Manahawkin, New Jersey, and Warwick, Rhode Island. Written comments were, of course, received by me from between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. yesterday. That was the close of business yesterday, was the end of the public comment period, and I got all of my comments in the afternoon of yesterday, all four of them. Two of the public hearings had no attendance. The one in New Jersey had nine guys showed up to that, fishermen. Written comments were received from the commission, from Garden State Seafood, Cape Cod Commercial Hook Fishermen's Association, and the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. I've got their positions basically on the screen here. We had support for the 3% RSA from a couple of entities. A couple indicated their support for EFH and fixing the management measure. and issue and split between coastwide quota and matching the commission plan under that issue. But in reading the comments, and they're available, I have them here with me, I think there was some confusion about whether allocation was going to be completely eliminated under 4B, and that seemed to drive the support for 4C. So in the public hearings, the support was for the 3% RSA. There was actually no action on EFH update, as I mentioned earlier. Maintaining management measures 3B and 4B, the coastwide quota. So if you guys approve the amendment here today, then the Mid-Atlantic will do the same in October. I'll get the final document to the regional office in December, and it should be in place for May 1st of next year.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I would just add one thing, and that is the reason for the seasonal split that was implemented years ago was the need to protect the interests of fishermen in the Mid-Atlantic, notably Virginia and North Carolina, to protect them from Massachusetts, because we landed all the dogfish. And the seasonal split ended up causing all sorts of grief for the fishermen to the south. So the seasonal allocation did the trick. But now we have ASMFC has evolved over time, and the states to the north and the states to the south have agreed the geographic location will do the job far better, and indeed we believe it will. And that's what ASMFC has. So the seasonal allocation is no longer needed, and the geographic allocation addresses the original objective of the FMP, regarding making sure that no one region or no one state disadvantages another region or another state. So that's the rationale for it. This is an excellent example, I suspect. Well, I know this is an excellent example of how the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission is working with the councils to improve dogfish management in a very cooperative way. So I'm very pleased with that, and also pleased with all the support from council staff relative to this particular issue. So, Mr. Chairman, when it's appropriate, I would make a motion, unless you would rather entertain some questions before I get to the motion.
Terry, you had a question?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I'll be quick. It's just concerning the RSA measure. Is the proposed percentages across a range, or is it proportionally divided between the two geographic areas?
That would be a percentage of the total coastwide quota. Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Pierce.
All right, then I would move, and Karen has the motion. By the way, thanks to Phil Herring for preventing me from making a mistake. He caught me before I made the mistake, so thank you, Phil. All right. I would move the council adopt the following alternatives for Amendment 3 to the Spiny Dogfish FMP. Research set aside. Alternative 1B, allow allocation of up to 3% of commercial quota as research set aside. Essential fish habitat. Alternative 2B, update essential fish habitat definitions for spiny dogfish. Delayed rulemaking. Alternative 3B, maintain all the previous fishing year's management measures, including the quota, until they are replaced via rulemaking. And then finally, quota allocation. Alternative 4B, eliminate seasonal allocation of the commercial quota.
We need a second to that. Mark Gibson, and your first motion of the year just slides inside the Pierce rule. Comments? Doug Grout.
Just a question. When is the Mid-Atlantic going to vote on this, or have they already voted on this?
That will be during our October meeting.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly and publicly count myself among those who are confused by 4B relative to 4C. I mean, as I look at this alternative, it's hard for me to understand exactly what its implications will be on a year-to-year basis for New England specifically and New England dogfish fishermen. So could you walk me through if we eliminate all seasonal allocation in a given year, we'll have a northern quota, a southern quota, and no November 1st cutoff date, and we would simply in the north have our quota and be able to fish on it until it was reached. Is that what we're getting at here? And what, in your mind, Jim, are the potential downsides to this approach? Because to me, seeing the alternative in the document, it struck me as confusing what it would actually result in.
Well, basically, the commission has already divided the coastwide quota up into the regional share and then the statewide portions to the south. And this would just get that seasonal issue out of that. That would still occur. There are still jurisdictional waters to think of. So when the northern region, for example, has landed the last of its 58% of the coastwide quota, then the fishery's done. And federal waters will still be open because other states are allowed to fish and they are being given access to federal waters. But I guess the downside would be knowing that just 3 miles out you can be in possession of dogfish. You can't bring them into Massachusetts waters, for example. But that's just the way it goes when you've been allocated a certain amount and it's been landed. So I don't really...
Phil, did you?
Yeah, I used this to explain to David when he was confused the reference he made earlier. Essentially, ASMFC, you can't land dogfish from federal waters without passing through the state waters. So if the state has quota, you can land in that state. If it doesn't, you might have to go somewhere else. And when all of the state's quotas are filled, then essentially the federal quota will have been reached simultaneously. So if you don't have this in there and ASMFC changes how they allocate the state quotas, we would have to go through rulemaking to reallocate the federal quota to the states or however we want to allocate it. So essentially it's to allow ASMFC to make changes if they want to without having federal rulemaking, and also they really hold the bag because you can't land in the state unless that state has quota from the ASMFC plan.
Tom?
Just to follow up on that, I've always found that incredibly frustrating and pretty silly. I don't think that's the – perhaps I'm wrong. I don't believe that's a consistent approach. I believe that we have shared resources between state waters and federal waters. State waters can be shut down in those instances. If there's federal quota that's out there, people can go out, take advantage of those opportunities, and land them on their federal permit. Clearly, that's not the case with dogfish, but I simply don't understand why we'd strand quota in federal waters, particularly on a stock like dogfish, which is robust, above its targets, et cetera, and particularly in a year or at a time when we're struggling for opportunities for fishermen in New England. I don't see why we can't continue to fish on a federal quota and land it. State waters need to be closed when state waters need to be closed, but that doesn't seem consistent with what we're doing in other fisheries.
Paul Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Tom 100%. I've raised this a million times about the ASMFC allocating fish caught in federal waters. I just don't think it's appropriate or legal. But we have rules, and the question for Dr. Pierce, we have rules that you can't have dual offloads. So if a vessel catches dogfish and he's got quota for it in the sector and Massachusetts is closed or Rhode Island is closed, then, you know, he'll have to go to another state to offload the dogfish and also offload all his other groundfish to be in compliance with our multi-species rules, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, I think before we adopt this allocation of, you know, we're very upfront with the states and say whatever you catch in state waters, we're taking it off the top. That's how our ACLs go. But it doesn't seem like it's reciprocal when they're going to allocate federally caught fish to every different state.
I got Mike.
Thank you. To Tom's point, I understand what you're saying, what you're getting at about the federal quota being available but not able to cross state waters. This action, no matter which of these alternatives were selected by the councils, doesn't change that, because at this point the commission plan is controlling on this, on what happens in state waters. What this action proposes to do is, Jim put it best when he said, gets NIMS out of the way of the commission. Because right now, under the current system, when the fish are in the northern area and the northern states are trying to, and the fish are in federal waters in the northern area, and under the commission plan, the northern area has its quota, which hasn't been reached. But come August, we find on the federal side that the season one quota has been reached because of some early fishing in, off North Carolina, or wherever it was occurring but wasn't occurring in the northern area. We close the fishery down. We close federal waters down. Now those fish are inaccessible to the northern states, even though the northern area has quota remaining under the commission plan. This action alleviates that problem by getting us out of the way and lets the what's currently controlling on the states be the only thing that's controlling on the states.
David Pierce.
Yeah, I can understand the confusion, Tom's confusion. There is no state waters quota. There is no federal waters quota. There is just a quota. So there'll be no federal quota left on the table when a closure occurs. The northern quota and the quota to the south, that is fish that is caught from federal waters or from state waters. It's not specific to one area or the other. As already just stated, gets the federal government, the councils, out of the way of the states so that we can deal with the necessity of harvesting all of the quota that's available, the federal quota, to the north and to the south, without leaving fish on the table. So it does just the opposite. It enables us to take it all off the table and to maximize the value to those fishermen who are pursuing dogfish. I understand where Paul's coming from. He and I have gone around on this issue a lot. We have different points of view. I say, and others have said, it's quite appropriate for the states to work cooperatively with the council, any council, with state chairs. As long as we're trying to achieve the same objectives, and we are. So that's the explanation for the motion, which I wholeheartedly support.
Further discussion? Mark.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think Mike Pettine and Dave Pierce made most of my points. I just wanted to point out that the commission recommended in their letter yesterday, alternative 4B, their letter to the Mid-Atlantic Council, and it is that the tension between the federal seasonal allocation and the geographic allocation that the commission has gone to that's causing us difficulties. We have configured the northern area quota and state-specific one so that all of the states essentially get a fair shot at dogfish when they're available to those jurisdictions. And by having the potential for a federal earlier closure in the first period or even in the second period alters that equitable access. So the commission strongly supports under issue 4B. Thank you.
Further comment? Go to the audience. Any comment? Back to the council. Dave Cahill.
Somewhat related issue. What happens if a quota is not filled in a region? Is there a rollover provision, or what? Is it just go away? Does it go to the other region? What? How does rollover work? I assume this is now an AFMFC question.
David Pierce.
Right, that there is a rollover, a 5% rollover at status quo, and it only occurs in dogfish because we're above the target biomass. We've reached our target, we're above the target, so it does roll over, and it rolls over. I believe it rolls over coastwide. But Frank, actually, I'd have to check on that. I'm not sure, David. I'm sorry. That the more I think about it, the more uncertain I am. But the rollover exists, but I'm not sure whether it's by region or across the whole coast. Sorry, okay. I can't answer that.
Okay. The reason I asked the question is if we pass this motion and we remove the federal, basically the November 1st closure of the northern area, then the northern area should never, I mean, as an example, probably will never have a quota underage. They should be able to fish 100% of their quota because they can keep fishing. Right now it's going to close November 1st. I don't know where we are in terms of how much of the northern area quota has been taken. But let's just say that we're not there when November 1st comes. If you vote for this, you eliminate that hindrance and you can keep fishing in the northern area until 100% of the northern quota is caught. This seems to be a more logical way of proceeding than having to deal with rollovers and those types of issues, you know, at the state level. The second point I'd make is on the issue of the states control the landings. You have to get into a state to land fish. Until somebody figures a way to beam them through space magically, they're going to go through a state. So whether people like it or not, the AFMFC still controls what happens in their states. It's the same with herring. I mean, the federal government has no herring spawning closures. It has no days out of the fishery. It has none of those things. But the AFMFC does, and because I land in New Hampshire, I have to abide by New Hampshire's rules, which mean I have to, you know, participate in the spawning closure, and I have to, you know, do all the other things that the AFMFC mandates. So I don't see how you get away from that. Unless the federal government magically has a little sliver somewhere that's going to come in to Washington, D.C., maybe, and you could land your fish there, because I don't see how you get out of this state-federal issue. Whether you agree with it or not or like it or not, the states could still do anything they want because they control what happens when you come into their ports.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there's almost two issues with rollover, and I agree with Dave Gaethel. Eliminating this eliminates the disagreement or misalignment between, you know, that's causing us rollover problems that we'd otherwise pursue a solution for with seasonal rollovers. I think the other issue and something that I want to come back to if we can after we deal with this motion is annual quota rollover. Right now we're at 55%. We're not going to hit 100% utilization of our dogfish this year. And given where we're going to be next year, I think we need, as a council, to deal with how we reallocate, how we basically roll over unused dogfish quota from one year to the next to provide additional opportunities. So I take Dave's point, and I see the value of this. I do have some concerns, but I'd like to deal with this, and then perhaps if I can introduce something to deal with the annual rollover after.
Paul Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, in terms of the federal requirement to set ACLs and AMs, did the council talk about setting one ACL and then giving sub-ACLs from North Carolina to Maine? Or how will, you know, we're talking about the overage, but about the underage, but what about if a particular state goes over? What is the accountability measure, and how do you make it fair to the other states that stayed under, or the other fishermen that stayed under their quota?
Um, Well, the way the plan currently is, it's a coastwide quota. You know, even if there's a seasonal overage, the AM isn't a seasonal. There isn't a seasonal penalty. It's a penalty on the next year or the once the data is in. It's usually a 2-year lag on the total coastwide quota. So that, you know, in thinking about that, what we've come up with is that those accountability measures, if they're regional or state-specific under 4C, would have to be, you know, deducted from that state or region's allocation the next year. So that, like you said, the ones that did not go over do not pay for that overage.
Further comments? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. 12 in favor. Opposed? None. Abstention? 1, 2, 3. 3 abstentions. 12-0-3. The motion carries. Dr. Pierce.
Yes, I have another motion to make. It's not specific to what we have just discussed, although it is related to it, and it's related specifically to the research set aside. And if you had a chance to read some of the documents, you would have noticed that the council, the Mid-Atlantic Council, did receive a report from its research set aside steering committee. And it had several recommendations for increasing the efficiency of the research set aside program. So the council, the Mid-Atlantic Council, approved recommendations related to improving the scientific credibility of projects funded under the RSA program. Specifically, according to the council report, these changes will allow the SSC to play a greater role in the identification and prioritization of council research needs and in the scientific review of proposed and completed projects. It seems to me that because this is a plan that both the New England Council and the Mid-Atlantic Council have a role in. Clearly, the Mid has the lead, but still, it is a plan we share. I suggest it would be appropriate for us to add the New England Fishery Management Council to the discussion. So I would move that both the New England Fishery Management Council, SSC, and the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council, SSC, play a greater role in the identification and prioritization of council research needs for spiny dogfish and in the scientific review of proposed and completed projects, thereby improving the scientific credibility of projects funded under the RSA program. So that is my motion, Mr. Chairman. And I make that motion because knowing the SSC in New England the way I know it and the fact that I have acquired even more respect for the talent, the knowledge and the talent on our SSC, and knowing that dogfish certainly dominate the ecosystem up here in the New England area, and we, the New England Council, have a great interest in the nature of the research that is done and that will be done with the research set aside, I think our SSC should be involved in a very formal way.
Second to the motion. Mark Gibson. One of the questions that I have just, and it's not on the thrust of this, but you know, just, and I'd have to maybe ask Chris or somebody to look at what the schedule is for the SSC, and as to if there's no time certain on this, it, you know, may not have as much value to it. But I don't know how we're going to necessarily fit it in a timely fashion. That's my only concern. Comments?
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't seconding. I was raising my hand for a question. But
Doug, were you seconding? Okay, it's Doug Grout. Mark, do you have a question?
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, to me it begs the question as to where is the problem right now in identifying and prioritizing I'm assuming it means this council's research needs for spiny dogfish. I don't know that there is a problem, so I'd like to know what that is. And then I'm questioning how a motion made at this council could have any bearing on the Mid-Atlantic Council's SSC.
Dr. Pierce.
Well, I'm not saying that there was a problem. All I'm saying is that the Mid-Atlantic Council has developed a process, and they are improving the process for dealing with research needs relative to spiny dogfish. And we should be part of that process in a rather formal way. And that process is specific to improving the science, improving the research, and indeed, and here's an important objective that certainly NOAA Fisheries buys into because it's the heart and soul of their program, improving the scientific credibility of projects funded under the RSA program. Now, I'm not saying the Mid-Atlantic Council SSC is not going to be able to offer up some recommendations that would improve their scientific credibility, but as a matter of formality, why not have our SSC involved in that process as well, since it is a joint plan?
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. This is different than the way we currently look at research with our RSC and the way our RSC procedures and policies are, where we review projects and we prioritize them, et cetera, in a very formal process. It doesn't include the SSC. And I think our research set-aside process for scallops is a little bit different than the Mid-Atlantic's research set-aside procedures they have for other things, but we do have a policy on reviewing projects and prioritizing.
Further comments? Phil?
Yeah, just to follow on what Paul was saying, our RSC has the mission to weigh in on the prioritization, but that's also done with the technical staff and vetted through the council periodically. The second half of the motion talks about SSC reviewing proposed and completed projects. Right now, the RSC focuses on reviewing final reports that have already been technically reviewed by the whoever organized the research, and then in terms of the proposed, the National Marine Fisheries Service conducts technical review of the proposals in the competition, and that's involves a technical team of people within and outside the agency.
Any comment from the audience? Back to the council. Dave Gaethel.
I was wondering if the maker of the motion might want to just change it slightly. And I'm not sure the Mid-Atlantic has an RSC, but it may be to say that the New England Fisheries Management Council's RSC or SSC, because the SSC may not want any more work at this point. They may want to delegate it to the Research Steering Committee, as an example. The other thing is on the heading there, it was Doug Grout that seconded it. Still says Mr. Gibson.
That's a very good suggestion. I would accept that as a friendly amendment. So it would be the NEF, MC, RSC, or the SSC. And if indeed it's determined after further discussion that the SSC can't do it for whatever reason, inconsistent with council policy, the way we're doing it, then it would be the RSC. Just find a way to in a more responsible and receptive way, add our own New England perspective to this critique in the SSC. The RSC could certainly do that.
I think the other comment that Mark Gibson made is appropriate, and I'm not sure that we can influence what the Mid-Atlantic SSC does or doesn't do. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea to remove the reference of that to it and really direct it towards what we can control.
With that said, Mr. Chairman, I respect that perspective because it's a good one. I would then remove the SSC reference and make it just the RSC. All right.
Yeah, I was just saying removing the Mid-Atlantic SSC reference, but it's out now, so it's just our RSC or SSC, because I don't think we can control what the MIDS SSC does. Further language work, Doug Grout.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The removal of, I understand where you're coming from in saying that we can't control the what the Mid-Atlantic SSC does, but the thing I got out of this is that there was going to be coordination between, some kind of coordination between the NEFMC's group, whether it be RSC or SSC, and the Mid-Atlantic. That I think, would be something that would be valuable if there was some kind of integration between the two, if possible, as opposed to each one of these organizations coming up with separate recommendations. I'm probably not going to make a big, make a re-motion of this because I'm the seconder of it, but somewhere in here, in this process, because I agree with what you're trying to get at here, Dave, there needs to be some kind of indication of coordination, and maybe it would be that the NEFMC, RSC, or SSC play a greater role. I'm trying to figure out what we could put and coordinate with the NEFMC's, the Mid-Atlantic SSC on this.
My sense is that we have to coordinate with them anyway because they're the lead on Dogfish on a joint plan. So, I mean, I think there's a lot that already says that we're required to do that.
If you feel that way, feel comfortable with that, that's fine, Mr. Chairman.
Was the okay? Is everybody comfortable with that language? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. Sixteen in favor, opposed, abstention. 16-0-0. The motion carries. Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's been interesting to see this amendment move forward. I think there, as we heard, there hasn't been a tremendous amount of input, the public hearings and other things. But I know where we are in this process. But I think it's important, given what's gone on this year, to consider. Putting opportunities on the table and maximizing our sustainable opportunities for the management of this stock. With that in mind, I'd move, and I believe Karen has the language, move to recommend the development and consideration of alternatives in Amendment 3 to the Spiny Dogfish FMP, allowing the rollover of 10, 15, or 25% of the unutilized federal spiny dogfish quota from 1 year to the next. And if I get a second on that, I'd like to provide a little bit of rationale.
Gene, before I ask for a second on that, at this point in the process, is this possible without having to go back to public hearing on this?
Where are we in the process? I'm not getting following this because it's the Mid-Atlantic.
Jim, would you?
We've had public hearings. The public comment period is over, and now the councils are approving submitting.
This seems to be a significant measure that would need additional public comment.
Um, given where things are in this process and with counsel's suggestion on that, I'm going to rule that motion out of order. If there is some way we can somehow put our heads together with the chair of the MID who will be here tomorrow to see if there's something we can do, maybe we try and do that offline and then bring something back. Jim?
Just reminds me one thing I didn't touch on that came from the public hearings we had in New Jersey that were actually attended was support for some sort of limited access program, and that you know, there was some disappointment expressed that wasn't part of this. That issue was originally part of Amendment 3 but was taken out so that we could, you know, fix these things that were kind of seen as low-hanging fruit. But there are still a number of issues, including limited access and further possibly alignment with the Commission's plan that we may be looking forward to in the future.
So there's a possible vehicle for doing something not like what was suggested at some point in the future. Tom, did you have one?
Yeah, just one follow-up comment. I understand the rationale here. I do want to state, just so folks are aware, we're at 55% now. We're going to leave dogfish in the water that are going to disappear, and 2013 is going to look pretty grim. There's only so many ways to put harvesting opportunities on the table in 2013. This is one of them, and my understanding, I think the chair appropriately identified that we need to have conversations with the MID. My understanding is something like this could go out for public comment after the fact, effectively, and you could go out on a sort of single issue, and maybe that's something that we can explore. But I think this is urgent. We're going to have very limited opportunities in 2013 to do much anything, to land much anything for money. So rolling over unused quota on this stock might be something that rises to the level of a priority. Thank you.
Dr. Pierce, is there anything else under spiny dogfish? Okay, let's take a 10-minute break. Be back at 4:10, please. 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 4:10, please.